The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts and friends, the Blurred Girl Kara Mahorn, and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Hi.
What up?
Hi, hello.
Happy International Women's Day, everyone.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is that.
Yes, it is. What so can we play my button? Just
oh yeah, there you go. That's fine. Yeah, Karima was right. I don't know about what, but play it.
Karima was right.
There we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was all thanks to me. I helped. I was there. I wrote the thing on the.
That is a very funny Saturday night.
You should into this nerd thing. You know, you really know what you're talking about.
And I should be getting royalties on that.
There you go.
Oh yeah,
that's my voice, dude.
What?
Isn't that my voice?
What
on
the?
On which?
Yeah.
Oh, on that. No, on I thought you meant Saturday
right.
Night Live.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
you do yeah. say Karima was right.
I do.
You're singing.
I should get
really
royalties
thought he was referring to Saturday Night Live.
I should get royalties
say,
for that, too.
You're in,
gonna
I was going to say,
I was
going to
be like, you were in that Seth Meyers sketch? That's
oh, yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
You are Seth Meyers.
I am.
I didn't know that. Don't look anything like him, but I mean, I'll just take your word for it. Anyway, hey, a movie came out. It's called Captain Marvel. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. Nobody was talking about it, really. We'll get Emerald City Comic Con coming out next week. We should probably talk about that. And some trailers dropped. There was some news about a recasting that I wasn't suspecting regarding Suicide Squad. So we'll talk about all that stuff. But first, we do this thing at the top of every show where we, talk about things that we personally were into. You know, things that we just sort of did by ourselves. Nobody else likes it but us. That kind of thing. Adam?
I'm doing the exact opposite of that.
Oh, really?
Week.
Oh, is this like a public
interaction? I'm jumping on a bandwagon.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Are you feeling okay?
No, yeah.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah.
Is this a cry for help? I'm just joking.
So here's what happened, right? We have to watch shows mm-hmm. for work, and oftentimes we have to blitz through as much of it as we can possibly get right off the bat.
That's true.
And, you know, I try to give everything as full a chance as I can. Obviously, I had only been through four episodes of Umbrella Academy
mm-hmm.
before when we talked about it here. I was kind of not inclined to keep watching, and then I kept seeing, man, this stuff gets a lot of buzz. Everybody's talking about Umbrella Academy. A lot of people I know really liked it, so I decided to keep going, and I gotta admit, I'm digging the Umbrella Academy. Yeah.
Now,
much more than I was at first blush. I still think it is 8 pounds of bleep in a 10-pound bag. Like, it's still too, like, it shouldn't take 5 episodes for
it's
a show to really grab
it's
me.
Very lethargic.
On the other hand, yeah, well, at least on a show, you know, it's interesting because you know, I certainly could say the first few episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer weren't particularly great.
True.
Up through the hyena episode, but
how dare you come for the pack that
I'm
way.
Sorry. I'm
oh, wait,
sorry.
Or did you like the pack?
I did not like the pack.
Oh, that's a great episode.
You're
objectively wrong.
Anyway.
Everybody likes the pack. Anyway,
so the point being that, I dig the Umbrella Academy. The story takes some interesting turns that I was not expecting. Characters that at first annoyed me, particularly Klaus, really come into their own as the season goes on and provide some pathos and some really good moments. And yeah, I think it's really interesting to see how this is doing. And you know, it's got to be gratifying for Netflix, given that they just lost their, or, you know, severed ties with their other superheroes, that their first post-Marvel superhero endeavor is really doing this well. But yeah, I dug it. I'm glad I gave it another chance. And looking forward to more from the Umbrella Academy.
Cool. I still think Ellen Page kissing a boy is a cursed image, but you know. But that's just, you know, hey, that's personal taste.
You know what that is? Acting.
Oh.
Acting.
I've never acted,
yes,
so I don't,
true.
You know.
But apparently, the fun little tip, apparently her wife gave the dancing instructions. She was the choreographer for
oh,
like the dance
cool.
scenes and stuff
nice.
Like that.
What about you?
I there's a lot of trailers that dropped this week, and one that I am losing my mind over. Many people might not know this, but in addition to loving like comics and things like that, I love martial arts movies. And so for those of you who remember Ip Man, that would start like Ip Man 1, 2, and 3, that start, or 1 and 2, really, that starred Donnie Yen, they're coming back out this year with something called Master Z, the Ip Man Legacy. Now, spoiler alert, the third movie, which was years ago, Ip Man doesn't make it. So, but his number two, the guy that did battle with him before he died, he didn't actually win that fight. Ip Man won, but then this, you know, it's, you got to watch the movie. It's really good. But, you know, he loses his status. He loses his status in society and basically becomes a waiter. So Master Z is about him and him coming back up. Michelle Yeoh is in it. She comes back and finds him.
Oh, I'll watch. I mean, I will watch anything that has her in it. That's fair.
She's doing battle. And Jin Zhang, I know I'm saying it wrong. I'm sorry. He is the person that plays Master Z. The trailer is out. Dave Bautista is in it. He plays basically American Chef, who also happens to be a wrestler. That's not really a stretch. It's directed by Wu Ping. Wu Ping is the classic martial arts choreographer that did Crouching Tiger, Kill Bill. Half his team was trained to do all the Matrix movies. This is real fight scenes. Adam, you were going to love all of these fight scenes. So even in the trailer, Michelle Yeoh and Zhang do this push hands move with a glass of whiskey. That's insane.
Is this in theaters right now?
It's not out in theaters. It was out in China. Now it's coming here, I think the end of this month, if not the beginning of next month. But I will let, I'll let everybody know, because it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm geeking out about, which I think you might be geeking out about too, is the trailer for Good Omens.
Oh yeah, it's great.
So I'm not going to take that away from you, but I love, I'm really excited about that because of Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. I really want Terry Pratchett, who is the author who created the Discworld series. I need somebody to figure out which Discworld section they want to start with and just start making these movies, because
yeah, it's hard. It's amazing. It's not easy to do. I mean, they've tried. They've done Discworld stuff. The BBC has done stuff. There's been efforts. It's not easy to adapt.
And now that there's money, now that there's Weta and things like that, I think they should give it another go. Because I need a turtle in my life.
All right. And that's the end of that.
Yep. No, come on. What? See, now it's getting It's getting to the point where you're making me beg for it every week. And like,
and you see, and Danny is smiling.
Yeah.
Because that's all he wants.
This dynamic is not, one of these days, I'm just going to say, you're right. Okay, let's keep booming. And then won't you be sad?
No, I'll be, I mean, I'll keep living. I mean,
oh
I'll be,
God.
I'll be okay.
Yeah. But you look at me with those puppy dog eyes and you'll be like, oh,
do you want me to leave?
I actually
okay?
have really horrible, like, beady rat eyes. I don't know. It's like, true. It's terrible.
But
nobody,
I find
nobody
rats,
should look directly at me. It's very unpleasant.
I find rats adorable. So anyway, while we're in the interest of time,
yeah,
Danny, just give it to us.
Oh God.
So two things. One, I watched the episode that, or at least one of the episodes that Aaron Richards directed, that Ben McKenzie wrote of Gotham last night. It was real good. Aaron Richards, I know, has put in all this work to finally get to the place where she could direct an episode of the show, and it was masterful. She's amazing, and I'm so happy she got the shot. And I think it's worth calling out that this is. I mean, it's always cool when you get to see an actor sort of make that leap to do something that they've wanted to do, like direct. And I just think that it was really wonderful work. It was a really great episode, and yeah, I hope that means that now that everybody's moving on from Gotham, that means that you'll get a chance to do more of that. So that is one thing. If you're watching Gotham, I'm sure you already know. But yeah, watch that episode as soon as possible if you hadn't. And then I'm working on this other podcast where I watch cartoons every day, which is intense. But
please tell me you're watching Animaniacs at some point.
I don't know how that's going to
shake out.
Are
you watching Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light?
Maybe. I don't know yet, man. There's, you know, there's like 30 people I gotta talk with. I don't make the calls on this.
So let me get this straight. Are you complaining about the fact that you get to watch cartoons every day? Is that what's happening right now?
Is that whoa.
Because I will take that podcast from you.
It is a lot of work. It is not as easy as you think. But last night my friend Todd, who's been on this podcast before, who does Song versus Song with me, came over and he made me watch these terrible cartoons, but I forgot, because as an adult, you sort of forget that sometimes it's really fun to watch garbage and make fun of it for a while. So we watched two weird old 80s cartoons, one called Adventures of the American Rabbit and the Felix the Cat movie.
Oh, dear.
Do you remember that one?
I don't.
It's
I try not to.
They're bizarre, but very entertaining because you just, you have to watch them to begin to fathom that somebody could make such a thing. Anyway, that was a really fun episode to record. It was very entertaining. We spent like 5 hours. We watched the two movies. We thought about it. We recorded that podcast. We recorded another podcast. It was a good night. Let's put it that way. It was a nice way to end a weird Thursday that I'd had. So that was cool.
All right.
Anyway, hey, we've been real upbeat. And that's swell. But I feel like we should probably give a nod to Luke Perry.
Yeah. Oh, such a sad story.
You know, I was thinking, you know, I could go with you. We could do this together.
You know, we can't do that. Right, Dad?
I was your age when my father passed away. I never got to say
this
goodbye.
This isn't goodbye, Dad.
You're damn right it's not.
See you soon.
Yeah, you will.
It's really weird. I mean, I think that, like, what is... Luke Perry is one of those eternal figures, right? Because, I mean, I can't speak to how old anybody else was in the room, but I was 10 when 90210 started. And so from that moment, he's sort of a constant presence, right? Because first he's a heartthrob, and then he sort of goes on to be something, I think, a lot bigger. Somebody had tweeted that, you know, he was a character actor in a heartthrob's body, which I think is very accurate. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's gotten all of this great work. Do stuff at Riverdale, and he's done animated stuff. He did some Mortal Kombat stuff. He did some Incredible Hulk stuff. And of course, he was Pike in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. And for however people may feel about that movie itself, I think that he really got it. And I think his his willingness to really go all in on that movie makes it this sort of campy thing that you can still go back and enjoy.
Well, he was absolutely a pop culture science fiction icon. Like, he's one of the people that you think of, you know, of the era. I had a hard time commenting. I had people ask me, like, are you going to do a post about it or something? And I said, I can't. It's a personal thing for me because I'm a stroke survivor. And once you have a stroke, you're at risk for another one. And so seeing his thing and looking at his age, I had to get off social media for a minute because it gets very frightening because you don't want to focus on that. And I'm not saying that my stroke was like his. I'm lucky. I'm still here. I learned to walk again. I'm okay. I'm knocking all the things right now. But it's one of those things where I think the very sad thing about heart disease and stroke is that, you know, it doesn't look like it does in the movies. And so I think a lot of people skip the signs. I'm not saying that he did. I am not blaming him for anything. I think it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. The thing that gets my ire up is when people go, oh, he was so young. Strokes don't just happen to old people. And I try and stress that because I was in the hospital with children that had strokes. So I need people to just, it's a heart condition, and some of them are preventable, some of them aren't, but it really is about how you, and sometimes the doctors can, you know, see the signs, and sometimes they can't. It's possible that he had something that led to a stroke. I don't know if I didn't even go back to read whether or not they were going to do an autopsy or anything like that, but I don't think we should break down how he died necessarily. I think we should continue to celebrate like a lot of the things that he did in life. And it's just sad. It's just sad all the way around.
Yeah. I really appreciate that you sort of put it in that perspective, because between that and there was a weird headline. Did you all see that Alex Trebek has got stage 4 pancreatic cancer?
Yeah.
That was another one that I was like,
That hit me really hard because he's sort of like everybody's grandfather at this point in this weird way. But I don't remember what website it was, and I don't want to call it and be cruel, but somebody said, you know, here are the odds of his survival. And yeah, it was
that
like,
makes
guys,
me crazy.
guys, I get it. He's a big public figure. We all have some feelings about this, but trying to understand what might happen or what could have led to, because that's the other thing people would say, well, strokes just don't come out of nowhere. Sure they do.
Yes, they do.
You know, so, you know, and you'll have people go, was there something else going on? I'll tell you what, if there was, mind your business.
And everybody is different. Every human being is different. And, you know, again, I even with the Alex Trebek thing, I think, first of all, he's such a classy guy. He's handling it like in hugely well. So, and every now and then, I mean, we talk about a lot of science fiction and fantasy and stuff that we love, but that's reality, you know? Sure. And every now and then we got to, you know, come back to Earth and go, oh, right. So, you know, oh, I was having a bad day. Oh, I'm not. I'm walking. I'm okay. Like, it doesn't matter what just happened, like on the internet or whatever. I'm breathing. Hey, look at that. Gratitude. So I think occasionally that I think we need more of that right now. And I think both those stories sort of just yanked me back to reality this week. And I think it did that for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Did you have anything that you wanted to say?
No, I think you guys covered it.
All right.
For the most part.
Well, there you go.
It's just a bummer.
As we say when people pass on the podcast, the best we can hope for in this life is that what we do matters to somebody and that we will be remembered. And so to Luke Perry, we say what you did mattered and you will be remembered. Okay, moving on. Suicide Squad. This is a story that I really did not expect.
But I was happy about.
We have another suicide mission.
My name is Amanda Waller. I have an offer for you. A way to work off your sentence. As it turns out, I have need of someone with your singular qualifications.
So, we found out Will Smith was not going to have time in his schedule to continue playing Deadshot. I said, just very busy playing Blue Genies and such. Just got a lot of things on the plate.
He's got other things too.
You know, and so I had assumed at the time, I don't know how anybody else felt, that, you know, they were getting rid of so many other characters anyway, that maybe they would just keep Harley Quinn and that was it, you know? So,
but she has,
because everybody else, as far as we know, is gone. The only people that had seemed as though they might be on the docket were Deadshot and Harley. So there's no reason to say we need Harley.
Amanda's gone too?
Or what's up?
Amanda Waller's gone too?
Oh, no, Amanda Waller is, that's still, I think, a rumor, but probably will still be there. Yeah, I just assumed that they would say, well, all right, we don't need Deadshot. Not required. And then, lol, JK, Idris Elba.
Yes.
Is going to take over that spot. Now, I don't want to speak ill of Will Smith. Not interested in doing it. But I will tell you that I am very excited to see Idris Elba play this part.
I don't think, I certainly would say nothing. I mean, honest to God, Will Smith was the best part of the first Suicide Squad for me.
I was going to say, you've said that repeatedly.
Yeah, I enjoyed his performance in that movie. And there wasn't a ton I enjoyed about that movie. But every time he was on screen, you know, the charisma level went up. So I'm not saying anything against Will Smith. I'm just saying if you have to replace Will Smith, you couldn't have done much better.
And it's very
than Idris
smart.
Elba.
It's smart timing, too. I mean, he's got the Fast and the Furious movie coming out. Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw.
So that'll be out this year. We've already seen him kind of do some, you know, action stuff.
I want Idris Elba. I mean, this is, you know, piggybacking on Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls Idris for Everything feature.
Yes.
I am all in favor. I want him to play all parts.
Yeah.
So I mean, anytime a project says, ooh, Idris Elba,
the anti-hero thing makes a lot of sense for him. He's got an anti-hero vibe.
But
sure.
Well,
that's kind of where a lot of people fell in love with him in the first place was Stringer Bell on The Wire, who was very much kind of a outlaw who you sympathized with on a certain level.
Yeah.
So
people like Luther.
And I heard a lot of people say, like, oh, it should have been Stephen Lang or whatever. I was on the Stephen Lang bandwagon back when they originally were trying to cast this. Stephen's good. He's all right. He's fine. So I think Idris doing this is a great idea. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm curious to see him and the actress that plays Harley.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, that their chemistry. This is one thing that I don't have a problem with. And again, we haven't seen anything.
Right.
I just like the casting. So
yeah, there's a bunch of rumors out there. It was that Polka Dot Man or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were saying something about ongoing talks with Dave Bautista. Maybe is going to really happen. They'll be in the movie. And they're going to King Shark, who was just on this week's Flash.
That's right.
I'll take anytime they want to bring King Shark into the mix, I welcome it. I think that's one of the best, weirdest characters of DC.
Over Gorilla Grodd?
You know what? For Suicide Squad, Yeah, I'll take King Shark.
Okay.
Of the two, that I mean, I kind of like him for that. But yeah, I just, everything they're saying about Suicide Squad, it's crazy, isn't it? Because it's not coming out until 2021. But
I know.
The buzz on it is great. And I mean, everything they've said so far is pretty good. You can't really take it away. The DCEU finally got the ball and they are running at top speed with it.
Well, we'll see.
When you think about it also, at that point, we will not have an Avengers and we will not have a Game of Thrones. So there'll be something else, but it's like that they're waiting. It's sort of almost like they're waiting for the field to clear, I think, to put their next big, you know, big thing out. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting to sort of see because, right, that's on the horizon and Aquaman did very well. Mm-hmm. People were very entertained by it just because we perhaps were not in love with it doesn't make it not good or no,
internationally,
not enjoyable.
I knew that was another one.
And Wonder Woman was also a huge success. And, you know, I honestly, like most of the Wonder Woman 2 has got a lot of positive buzz around it already. Yeah. They're talking about a Batgirl movie. They got all this stuff. And all the Harley stuff kind of sounds interesting. And that, I don't know what to say about that Joker movie, but boy, they're really trying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's got that weird sort of Logan Fox take
one?
On Marvel. Well, the rumor is that they're not going to do the Jared Leto one.
Okay.
Right.
But the other one, the Joaquin, that one.
I'm so mad when you say it like that.
That is, I mean, they filmed it. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to sort of see this really quick, sudden turn where, you know, people are seemingly more interested in the DCEU.
Well, and I think they just figured out that the idea was to make good individual movies, you know, and as opposed to this thing, you know, building this thing that they were trying to build of the shared universe to varying degrees of success. But I think that what we're seeing is that they're not afraid to give every movie its own character a little bit. And I think that's an area that they can really do well in. You know, people have talked about Marvel having this sort of, for the most part, this factory made feel for a while where it was like these movies all kind of have the same beats and, you know, hit the same notes. And DC has a real chance, I think, to differentiate itself by saying, okay, you know what? Shazam's going to be a comedy and Aquaman's going to be this psychedelic, you know, picaresque action movie. And Joker movie is going to be this hard-boiled crime noir and do it that way. I think the sky's the limit if they do that. And, you know, they're making a lot of smart decisions now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that honestly, if you were going to, they did try to rush through and do, you know, they tried to get to Justice League real quick.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, I prefer the Fox Marvel playbook. I think that Logan and both the Deadpool movies are really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, if you're going to introduce new characters, I think that the DC roster is such that it doesn't require a shared universe.
Right.
All those characters are so rich. All of them can really stand alone in their own universes and can have their own unique styles. And I think the only Marvel movie that I would look to and say, kind of like that, in my opinion, would be Black Panther. Because I think that letting Ryan Coogler sort of have that auteurship is a thing that really sets that movie apart from the other movies within the MCU.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on that when we get to the
Captain
Marvel discussion.
Sure.
But
for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I do. This stuff, every time they sort of make these new announcements, I have to say, I've been feeling more and more confident in what they're doing, and that's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
So that's happening, and then also have a delightful word from our sponsor.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't know if you heard, we're on the street. Winter's coming. You thought it was already here,
yeah.
But nah. Because they dropped the Game of Thrones season 8 trailer. Did you watch it? You watched that trailer?
Yeah.
I did.
I know Death. He's got many faces. I look forward to seeing this one.
And Arya's running like run, girl, run.
I think
the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, my wife and I have been talking about this and she's really excited for the season. And I've kind of been at low ebb in my excitement up to this point. It's like, okay, yes. I think part of it being that we are in this world all the time when it's our job and, you know, just constantly hearing about it and everything. But that trailer really got me jazzed for season 8 now.
It was done really well. Yeah. I mean, I still think Arya's in danger, but a lot of people
are all in danger.
They're all in danger. That's true. It looks like Jon Snow and Auntie are.
Boy, is that going to be an awkward moment. I wonder if that will be treated as an awkward moment. Or in Westeros, are they just kind of like, you know what?
I mean, look at the twins.
Keep it in the family, yo.
Keep it in the... Boy.
No, but I'm serious. There's precedence for it on the show in more ways than one. So,
I will say in the books, it's not, especially among the Targaryens, it's not considered taboo at all. You know, so it's just interesting if they adjust that for a TV watching audience who I think expects it to be a big deal. The funniest thing will be if it's revealed and they're just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, and they move on with their lives because in that world, it's not... that nuts a concept.
Yeah. I think Kit Harington has got the comedic chops to take a beat.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That they could let him like have a weird moment where his eyes kind of dart around and he takes a big gulp. That'd be kind of funny.
An interesting thing about that trailer.
A very Kermit the Frog take. That's what I want from him.
We got one shot of Tyrion.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yeah.
How much of a part is he going to... I mean, I'm assuming he's got a significant part to play. You don't have...
I mean, we're only really seeing, stuff from the first three, I believe, is the deal. Yeah. And I think most of it, what you're seeing is stuff from episode 3.
Right.
So...
Which is that they're saying the Battle of Winterfell, which is the most time any TV battle has ever taken to shoot. There was a story about that this week, and they were
Yeah,
all...
and it's going to be have the most screen time or something
yeah,
also.
Yeah, man. I can't imagine, because they've just... Every giant battle they've done has really... pushed the boundaries to where you're thinking, wow, I've never seen anything like that on television before. And this is supposedly going to take that to an even greater extreme. So,
see, but I don't think I think they're setting people's expectations too high because that means I'm going in thinking Dragon Ball. Like they're going to start this fight and it's going to go on for an entire hour. And then when you get to the second hour, then they're just going to get to the middle of the fight.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Battle of the Bastards was an entire episode, you know?
Exactly.
So they've certainly not shied away from hours long battle scenes. From what everybody's saying, it's got a very Helm's Deep vibe to it. I don't, you know, we'll see. It's going to be
I
mean, but
I don't want to pump it up too big. That's always the fear, right?
I know.
I watched the trailer. I said, good trailer. Here's what I really liked. Did everybody watch The Beginner's Guide to Game of Thrones?
Oh, I have seen those. I've seen a lot of those types of videos. I have not watched. Oh, wait. You're talking about Sam Jackson.
That's right.
Okay, newbie. We've only got a few minutes and a lot to cover, so listen up.
Yes.
Sam Jackson did A Beginner's Guide to Game of Thrones.
It's like That's 8 funny. Minutes.
Yeah.
An 8 minute guide to Game of Thrones. So Sam Jackson with his, you know, and he gonna die. Don't get attached to him. It was hilarious. Yeah. It was hilarious.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it was really Captain Marvel timed, but still.
But what's really
awesome.
Good about it is that it's not designed to tell you everything.
No.
I kind of respect the hustle on this.
What, the trailer or the
Sam Jackson thing?
Okay.
It's designed
everything.
To inspire you to binge, not to make you feel, oh, well, I don't need to watch that stuff.
Right, right.
They still are trying. I mean, yeah.
It was written very well.
That's a pretty good game. Yeah, and I mean, of course, it's Sam Jackson, who we'll be talking about more momentarily. I mean, I consider him to be one of the most gregarious, charismatic human beings to ever walk the earth, so.
That'd be hard for me to say. There's a lot of human beings I've never encountered in the whole history of humankind walking the earth.
I personally think that what makes me like Sam Jackson is that he doesn't care.
Sam Jackson. I'm just saying, in the whole history of humanity, he's one of the most gregarious people.
No, I think so. You mean actors, right?
I mean just humans, period.
Human beings.
Just humans.
There has never been.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're hilarious.
That's it. I mean, you know what? I'll tell you what. Sound off in the comments if you think I'm wrong.
You're going to be haunted. You're going to be haunted by several ghosts.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, boy.
If those are the ghosts haunting me, I'll take it. Sounds delightful.
I was happy to see Gendry again in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That was like, oh, he's still on the show. That's cool. Arya was in her first battle scene.
Yeah, that's wild because she's been so independent of everything this whole time. So it's kind of, you know, last season was almost everybody kind of getting back together. And so this sort of feels as though Arya is really going to be back in the shit now. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm pumped, man.
Oh.
It's a month away.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. That's true.
A month and change, I guess.
Here's the thing that's so frustrating. My wife still won't let me buy a new TV. Still won't let me do it. Got to wait until next year. I want a new big TV.
Wait, I'm sorry. I've been to your place. You have a big TV.
That TV is not that big. That's 55 inches. I want a minimum 75-inch TV
first
to watch the last
problems.
Seasons of Game
first
of Thrones.
First world problems,
you can call it whatever
man.
You want. I'm just saying that the bigger the TV, the better for Game of Thrones. That's all. Like, that's just my personal take on it. I'm not saying go out and buy a TV. I'm saying that my wife won't let me have one and I'm mad about it. That's it.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's it. They're really bringing the important yeah. news, dropping the real truths here. But yeah.
Speaking of trailers of things based on books.
Oh, yeah.
The Good Omens.
The Good Omens.
You,
Danny, I know you haven't read the book.
I haven't because I'm a functional illiterate.
That's right. We've established that. Karima, have you read
it? I am halfway through the book.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I started it years ago, stopped, and then started again. And then it's one of those things where it's like, I got to go back to the beginning. So that's what I did very recently. So I'm halfway through. You've read the book.
I have read the book.
Were you excited when they first announced this?
Yes. I think the big thing, you know, the first piece of news they came out with around this was the casting of Michael Sheen mm-hmm. and David Tennant in their respective roles as Angel and Demon. And I mean, you couldn't have done much better than that. I have a hard time. Yeah, and especially I think this trailer that was just released this week really bears that out because we see a lot of those guys bouncing off of each other and it is delightful.
Oh, I forgot. I misspoke. I had the audiobook
okay.
years ago right. also that was acted out. That
yeah.
that was nice. So I am familiar with the story and I agree. I was happy with the casting. I mean, I think they're perfect.
Yeah.
And then when the trailer dropped, I was so excited. I was sending little happy gifts to everybody with the trailer guys because I was, I mean, honestly, I'm also a Terry Pratchett fan because I am a fan of Discworld. And so, which is another thing that I think needs to be at some point made properly. So I'm just excited for it. I like the fact that it is being made in Britain with this cast. There's all
yes.
and other people in the cast also are rounding this out very well. And I just, the thing I like about British TV, this is something else I liked about Sherlock years ago with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
Benedict Cumberbund.
Still a name to say.
I do not make fun of people's names because reasons. But it's just one of the things that I like the timing of British television. I like the
yeah.
timing of Luther. I like the timing. And they let moments play out.
Well, and especially given the source material. I mean, yeah. the source material, the both of those guys are, or Neil Gaiman is the Britishy of the Britishest.
The Britishy of the
yeah.
Britishest.
I also like John Hamm, though.
Dave?
Who
yeah.
is in this in this?
Yeah,
in this thing.
Mike McCann's in there, too.
Comedic John Hamm is the best John Hamm. I know, you know, he was broke on Mad Men. Everybody's like, ooh, drama.
No, but I like this funny
yeah.
side, too.
No, funny John Hamm is my favorite John Hamm.
Yeah, I like the one who's selling you the ham and bubbly.
Indeed.
And the bubbly ham.
But I love that line where it's like, why go to war? He's like, because we have to win
right.
it. You can't win it if there's no war.
Well, and that's what I read.
It's
I was
awesome.
Going back and reading about the book, and someone said, you know, one of the main themes of it is it's better not to fight a war than to win a war.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, man, that's a really timely,
so timely.
Notion.
Yeah. And I thought
we could all take that to heart a little bit in our day-to-day life. So,
yeah, I just like John Hamm's John Hamm. That's what I like. John Hamm is great. But I do like John Hamm's John Hamm.
Yeah.
I want that to be a real life thing. Going to the bathroom, you got your regular toilet paper, then you got your thing of ham.
How are we in the bathroom? Danny?
I mean, that's a sketch. That's just one of the John Hamm comedy sketches.
Sway. How'd we get here?
It was a straight shot. I don't think it was that. I'm just saying there's an SNL sketch where they talk about it. If somebody wants to drop a clip of it.
John Hamm's John Hamm. Ham you can eat in the bathroom. I know what you're thinking, that I'm only endorsing John Hamm because John Hamm is also my name. First of all, my last name has two M's, and second of all, my first name doesn't have an H. Feel like a dummy yet?
I make it up.
I know, I believe you. I just think it's irrelevant. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. It looks British as hell, so I'll
yeah.
watch it. You know, I mean, like, if it's British, you know, it's like, call the midwife, I'm in.
I love Michael Sheen. He's one of my favorites. I
liked him
recently,
in Underworld too, even though it wasn't a big role. Like, I mean, I know you don't like Underworld, but I even
no,
liked him there.
But you need to see Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Wait.
Oh, your fave.
If you want some.
Wait, I'm sorry.
One
you
of your
didn't
top
like
10
Underworld,
favorite
but
films
you
like
Twilight?
Time.
What's that?
You didn't like Underworld, but you like Twilight.
That's
you love
correct.
That one. You do love that one.
That's correct.
Y'all can't see my
no,
face.
No, and
right
listen,
now.
I don't love all the Twilights, but here's the thing about Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, and I've talked about this on the podcast before. By that point in the series, everyone involved realized how ridiculous it was. And instead of being like, no, we're serious, they were like, nope, we're going to double down on the camp and really go for it. And no one embodies that in that film more than Michael Sheen.
I did watch the film, but I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, possibly inebriated with this in mind.
Every time he is on screen is devouring the scenery whole, like Cookie Monster, like just nomming down on everything. And it is beautiful. It is beautiful to watch because he's just going for it. And it's so over the top and amazing. So I'm a big Michael Sheen fan, and I'm psyched to see him in Good Omens.
Good take.
And everyone go see Breaking Dawn Part 2. Or
there you go.
Watch it at home.
All right. Hey.
Yeah.
We're going to a convention next week. Let's just touch on that real quick. We'll probably be talking from the con floor in a week from today. Emerald City Comic Con is in Seattle.
Yes.
We're all going to be getting on a flight on Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
Going to be there the whole week.
Yes.
Up on a stage talking to folks.
Yeah,
as,
we're gonna be
as
on
you
the
do.
Live stage again, talking to some amazing people. You know what I think I like the best about this year, I'm excited about, is we still have some of those short interviews, but we're getting a chance to really talk for a longer time. Because don't you feel sometimes that you're just getting into the conversation when it's over?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we really wanted to focus on this year when we went into planning this con, was to try to push it out as much as we can and get as much time with people as we can. So you get a half hour interview, and that allows you to really get into it, you know, and not just touch on some of the basic points, but really get into the nuts and bolts. Although our 15-minute interviews are also excellent.
Well, they are. So, it's nice to see that a few times we get a little bit more.
And we're also doing a little bit of roundtable action where it's not necessarily, oh, we're just talking to this one person about their project. It's like, let's talk to three people who work in this field about a particular theme, which I think is going to be a lot of fun
to see
how everybody interacts with each other and different perspectives on certain topics.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to it. I would say I have one of those roundtables, and that is the thing I think I am looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
I love Seattle. The best thing about Seattle is you go there and you look at the food prices, and they're way higher than most places. And the reason for that is because they actually pay the servers a living wage. That's what I like about Seattle. I have to tell you, it's a good feeling that you're like, oh, that person is going to be able to go home and live in a house. And be a functional person and not have to subsist on the luck of getting a good tip during the course of a day. You can still tip if you want to, but you know, it's a real relief. I wish that the whole country functioned that way.
And it's a very walkable city and a very friendly city. That's the other
and
thing.
And the con last year was just really, you know, we go to a lot of these types of events in the course of our work, and I would say the Emerald City felt intimate on a way that some of these don't necessarily always feel. You know, the enthusiasm was there, but there was also, I think, a warmth to it in a certain way that is not always present at every con I've ever been to. So really looking forward to returning to Emerald City Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm already trying to build up my plans of things that I'll be doing when I'm not on
stage. Oh, yeah. No, me too. I'm running up and down. And the artist alley there is really good.
Mm. Yeah. So, Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Captain Marvel came out.
Sure did.
Today.
It is a movie. It is the first Marvel movie to star a lady person as the chief protagonist.
That's a yes or no question.
Yes.
We have no idea what threats are out there.
I'm not what you think I am.
It's out. The best thing about that is now people can talk about
The movie.
Right. And not what they think is happening.
What a wild and inventive idea to talk about a movie instead
that you've
of
actually seen.
Everybody's weird going in opinions, what the actor said, what this side said. Yeah. But that's really nice to not do that anymore, or at least a little less. Just all I ask, a little less. What did you guys think about that movie?
I really enjoyed it. I don't think it was flawless. But there are very few movies I can say that about. Very, very few. I wouldn't say, you know, this is when we got into talking about the auteurship, right, of Black Panther.
Right.
And I think that there are a couple of Marvel movies that really showcase, you know, I don't think anyone other than Taika Waititi could have made Thor Ragnarok, you know, the sensibility that was involved there. Winter Soldier, I felt, had a certain, you know, style and panache to it that took it a step above some of the other Marvel movies. I don't think Captain Marvel reaches that level. You know, for me, there's tiers when it comes to the Marvel pantheon, and you've got your A tier, which has your Black Panther, and for me, Winter Soldier and Ragnarok, and for me personally, Iron Man 3, which I thought was very much a Shane Black movie. But I wouldn't put Captain Marvel in that tier. I really enjoyed it, though. And I think in terms of Marvel movies that introduce a new protagonist as the main character, I would either rank it second or first after... No, I'm second or third after Iron Man and Captain America, the First Avenger.
All right.
I'm on the fence as to whether I like it more than Captain America, First Avenger or not. But you know, and to say it's not... I don't think it's going to change cinema, you know, but it's a really fun movie. I enjoyed it.
Karama.
I agree. I mean, I will admit, I've seen it twice. I saw it with you guys, and then I saw it again last night. And it, you know how, like, the first time you see it, you're like, okay, your first impressions are usually pretty good. And I'm not saying they went down. It's just more of you look at details more when you go the second time. So I still think it's a good movie. It's a very entertaining movie. For the majority of the population that doesn't read comics, they're going to love this movie. I do see people who are comic book readers, not necessarily all being angry, just being a little confused because they retconned a lot. And I'm not going to spoil it right now, but there's a lot of retconning happening in this movie. But I do think that I loved Goose. I loved Lashana Lynch. I loved... Coulson was adorable. I got that there was a real... I felt that Brie Larson and Sam Jackson like knew each other in real life, which they do. Not, you know, there was a chemistry there, like a friendship. I think neatly set up Endgame. And one of the things I thought about was if it didn't have to do that, if it was like an Ant-Man that didn't have to set up another movie, whether or not we would have gotten slightly more story out of it. That was one thing I wondered. I liked the fight scenes. I just wanted more of them. And the only other thing that I would say, and this I had my impression both times I saw it, was that although I was entertained, I agree with you, Adam, this isn't like the big life-changing. Like, I don't want to compare it to Black Panther because I feel like Black Panther was a completely different movie at a completely different time for, and it was just, there were so many firsts in that movie. I don't want to, and it was the authorship that you're talking about. I'm not slighting the directors of this movie. I'm just saying that it's different. This was really, really good, but at times I felt like it was like the best 2-hour season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'd ever seen. Like there were moments that I felt because, and I think it's because I've watched much of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and there's so many Kree in the show right now. I think I might be influenced by that, but that's my good. I won't spoil it. I'm sure we'll get to our criticisms, but what did you like about the movie, Danny?
I like Sam Jackson and Brie Larson and I like the cat.
That is Goose. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's not a cat.
I know it's a
Flurkin.
It's a Flurkin, but it's a Flurkin cat. Come on, yeah, that's boy. It's weird. I watched it, and I think as is often the case with Marvel movies, when I'm in the moment, I think, yeah,
you're entertained.
Yeah,
and then the more distance that I have from, to be honest, Marvel movies more often than not, the more I go.
See, that was me the second time I saw it. There were some moments that
And the other thing is that I ended up having a really long conversation with a friend of mine who hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we talked about it, the more things that they brought up that I said, I can't refute that. I can't disagree with that. And it's not, you know, listen, here's the thing. Going into this movie, and I'll cop to this, I was nervous. I was afraid I would hate it. That's the truth. Because, you know, there, you got people on the internet going, if you're a white man, you didn't like this movie, I don't want to hear it from you. Okay, I understand that. I get it. And that's why, you know, I found myself saying, how much do you say and how much do you not? I don't want to have a fight with people. I don't want to tell people they can't like a movie. If you really got a lot out of it, great.
Right.
You know, but if I don't like a movie, it's not because I'm trying to take a strike against Captain Marvel or Brie Larson or whatever. You know, sometimes you just like a movie a little less. And the more I thought about this one, the less I liked it.
Interesting.
When we can talk about that a little bit, but there was one article I read that sort of talked about the fact that they've got this whole thing about she's a pilot. There is this sort of services, this, you know, like she's she's part of the government. You know, she's signs the line, she's trying to help the country be better, and then she's gone, and then she's back. And they've chosen this time, the 90s, which is a pretty complicated time in the military in general. And because she goes away and comes back, they don't touch on it at all. You know, like, there's no reference to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There's a whole article about it, which I thought was really interesting. And yeah, it kind of feels in that way a little bit, for me, hollow. I mean, I don't know how you deal with that in a Marvel movie, but it was kind of interesting just because, you know, there's a real...
I'm not sure I understand.
Basically, the time period that this person was talking about, the fact that the realistic time period of the early 90s and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and a lot of the women in the military,
yes,
who were just being able to learn how to fly and things like that, were being sexually assaulted and things like that. And none of that, not that that should have been addressed, but it was sort of like this cookie cutter.
So they chose to do the 90s.
Thing.
And so there's, you know,
but
and that's,
this is a Marvel movie. They
I mean,
are not
we also
going to do that. I don't think they're going to cover that.
Marvel gave us a version of World War II where no one smokes, you know, so I don't know. It's weird. It's like I understand that that is an important issue. Like, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is and remains an important issue, and you know, people's ability to serve in the military as who they are remains an important issue. But I guess it feels weird to me asking this to be the movie that addresses that.
Well, I think the person was addressing the feminist part. They were like, "Well, if this is supposed to be a feminist movie, why wasn't this why didn't this happen?" And it was like, I don't think Marvel ever said this was a feminist movie.
All right, so here, let me circle the wagons a little bit. The two things that I noticed were, A, you know how, like, this is set in the 90s, and so there's a lot of that, here's some 90s songs and here's some 90s references and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really serve anything other than it's in the 90s. Were you in the 90s? That's for you. As opposed to, if you compare it to, say, Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a very specific reason why it's got the soundtrack that it does. It's Peter Quill's attachment to his mother, and that through the music of the 1970s that she sort of brought him up on, right? That's a thing that is really notable that you can sort of see in contrast, where the one film is making a really specific character choice as relates to that music and relates to that time, versus this, where it sort of just feels as though it's there to just say, hey, you guys remember the 90s, right? And the other thing is that, honestly, the weird time jumpy stuff and the way that they clearly wanted to tell Carol's story in a way that an origin story had not been done before in Marvel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's laudable. But honestly, by the end of the movie, I still feel like I don't know who Carol is. And I feel like I don't know what she wants. I don't really like...
I think she's still learning too, though.
But I think, I mean, this is the thing, is that I feel, you know, we had a movie like Black Panther that really explored a lot of deep themes. If you look at Iron Man, Tony Stark's arc is, I'm a jerk, now I'm not a jerk. You know, literally that is it. And the message of the movie is, it's better to be good and nice than to be a jerk. It's not a complex theme. It's not a complex
story.
Stay
rich, because you can't buy all the
things. And I think Captain Marvel feels very much like that to me. I mean, you know, what we learn about Carol is that she's a little bit of a daredevil. You know, she has this past that she has known, and she's under a certain yoke, and she learns to be free of it. And she learns that it's all about standing up on her own, and that's, like, it's about getting back up and all that stuff. And I think that, to me, is why, you know, as we've gone further in this Marvel universe, we've gotten used to these deeper explorations of themes. And I think this movie doesn't necessarily do that. This movie is just a straightforward hero story. You know, you get knocked down, you get back up again.
Get back up again.
Chumbawamba style. And if you're looking for a film that is going to get super deep on some serious themes, this is not that movie.
I mean, look, and here's what I will say. I mean, I've had plenty of friends who have gone on Facebook and Twitter and said that it was that for them. And I'm not trying to say, sure, you can't feel that
no,
way.
No, of course.
You know, I mean, I think that, yes, so the imagery of her getting knocked down and getting back up again, and, you know, there is a bit of a whole motif of that. And I think that plays very well. I think, for me, you look and there's, you know, for a lot of people made this one, and it feels like a movie that had maybe one too many cooks in the kitchen.
That I agree with in terms of execution. But again, I still think it's a fun movie. And I do think that it could not have been pulled off without this cast. I think the cast was very good for it.
I mean, here's my biggest criticism. I think it takes a little while to get going. I think the early stages are a little rough, especially like some of the fight scenes in the early stages. They really use a lot of choppy choreography or choppy editing.
Yeah.
Which is one way of hiding the fact that you don't have really intricate, and well-executed fight choreography. Mm-hmm. But the thing for me is as soon as you get Carol and Nick Fury together, I think this movie really takes off. And yeah, their relationship, I thought, was great. It's the most I've enjoyed the Nick Fury character ever in any movie.
Because it's before he's jaded and before he's just got these one-liners in the corner.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a lot of fun.
It's the most of Sam Jackson I feel like I've gotten.
Yeah.
It's the most of that man's full range.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I really enjoy him.
Since he started showing up in after credit scenes 10 years ago.
He's really funny, and they're very funny together.
Yes.
And anything that involves them running around, trying to figure stuff out, trying to get away from people that are after them, has got a very distinctly Longest Goodnight vibe.
It does.
That is the thing that
we cannot ignore Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, great.
Because
Ben Mendelsohn was great.
I wasn't ready for him to be funny.
Yeah.
I was ready for him to be evil, just straight evil.
He should be in everything.
That character.
Yeah.
Because he was some of the banter, I feel like I don't want to say they borrowed that from Thor, but I felt like, I really wish, and I guess I'll have to look at an interview or two, I wonder if some of those scenes, like the one on the plane, were like, and the one in the house, were improv.
No, I think those are scripted.
Some of those conversations were just, and I mean, we laughed out loud.
Yeah. It's a funny movie. I don't know. I mean, like, I guess
Clark Gregg was adorable.
Yeah, I had a really good time. I mean, listen, like, it's hard because I feel like we live in this world where you have to say, it is good or it is bad.
No, the goal is not to say thing good, thing bad.
Because I feel mixed, mostly positive, you know. It's like I could sit here and, you know, I say Iron Man 3 is my favorite Marvel movie, or Captain America, Winter Soldier, or whatever you want to say. You could find flaws in any of those movies. There are very few perfect films. Raiders of the Lost Ark is like one of the few movies that I would say I can't sit here and point to a filmmaking flaw with that
Galaxy Quest, perfect film.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all about perspective.
Yeah, so, you know, and I do think, I mean, I think it's great that we're at this stage where Marvel finally has a female protagonist-led film, and I think that women and girls will get a lot out of this movie.
Girls especially, yes.
Yeah, young girls. I think there's great stuff for kids in it to learn and absorb. I mean, not, again, I don't think it's a super deep film. It's not exploring deep themes and shades of gray and all those types of things. It's just, it's pretty straightforward. But it does what it does really well by my lights.
Also, at the end of the day, I think I've also come to the point where I am not looking, I mean, although Black Panther, I think, did that for me and I thought it was amazing, I am not looking at a superhero movie going that, like, this is going to make or break me. Like, this is my movie. I think I had that, like I said, a little bit for Black Panther, but you can't, it's sort of like, you know, don't meet your heroes. You don't put all of your, everything that you thing into these, you know, everything that you believe in your social construct of yourself on one movie. Is it good? Yes. Is it the best movie? Like Adam said, no. But I'm going to say the same thing I say all the time when we start talking about the first this, the first that. Let's have a discussion when there's five of them.
Yeah,
when
I would feel a lot better. And I have to say, this is, you know, my whole perspective on it is, gosh, I really wish I knew how I felt about this movie. But I don't. And the reason that I don't is because no matter which way I turn, people really want to tell me not just how to think, but also what I do think if I say anything in any sort of way. And it makes it very hard to just view the film. I've never had a movie quite like this where I felt like it's just a Marvel movie made by Disney that wants to make money.
Right.
And it has, you know, some scenes where a lady with superpowers punches people in the face. Like, that's...
But here's the thing. If this time last year somebody had said that to me about Black Panther, I would have probably punched them in the face. So, like, you can't... because that meant something to me.
Right.
So, here's the thing. I do think, and I think there's a lot of men who are like, I don't want to say the wrong thing because I don't want to make everybody angry. I don't care. I'm a woman. I'm a black woman. I will tell you, it's a good movie. It has flaws. Are all of the flaws worth saying, oh my God, this is the worst movie ever? No. Go see it, make your own opinion, and then comment and tell us what you think. But I personally think you should see it. I think you're going to enjoy it, especially the first time you see it. And if you have a chance to bring a teenager, a little girl or boy with you, bring them. Because people forget that a lot of these movies are made for kids. Mm-hmm. And see what they think. So I'm not worried about what other people think. But then again, nobody really cares about what I think either. So
sorry, it's all just opinions.
I believe absolutely, you know, that when we get further down the line, right, we're going to have a Wonder Woman 2 coming out.
Yeah.
I can't wait for them to get around to making that Ms. Marvel movie.
Would you compare this?
This is what I think should happen.
Yeah.
Is you launch Ms. Marvel in the Captain Marvel sequel.
Oh, you put Kamala Khan.
Captain Marvel 2
would be great.
That's your story, right? Kamala Khan.
And then, you know, and that character really fits more in the in that sort of Spider-Man realm. We've just had that really huge success with Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, yes, Kamala Khan has got that vibe. You know what I mean? She's very much in that same, I'm a fan of superheroes, I'm a young kid trying to figure stuff out, I'm unsure, but she's a different side of the die because she's coming from a different starting place. That I, you know, honestly, that's the one. You know, if there's a movie that I want to see more than anything, it's definitely that one. That's the, like, when's Marvel going to announce that? That I'm interested in. This movie just feels like one step on the road. There's some good stuff about it. There's some bad stuff about it.
I wish it didn't get
blown up bigger. Like, I get that it was the first one. Mm-hmm. And so the people really latched and put a lot of stuff on it. But man, the sooner we can, just like, you know, Jodie Whittaker was the first doctor that's a woman. Can we? Great. Let's see how the show continues to perform. Let's continue to see how Marvel performs. Can we get past that part and move on?
I do have one question for both of you. Compared to Wonder Woman, what did you think? Would you, if you had to put Wonder Woman on scale and compare to Captain Marvel now that you've seen it, how would you rate it?
I think I probably liked Wonder Woman more at first blush. Now, admittedly, I've seen Wonder Woman more than once, and mm-hmm. I've only seen Captain Marvel once, so I don't have the same perspective on the two.
I find them so fundamentally different because the thing is that I get, so honestly, the thing about Wonder Woman is that I find it slow. And so I get bored in that first half of the movie. There's this whole second act is it. And I think if I was going to pinpoint one thing that had the best, the highest high, I think the second act of Wonder Woman is great.
Yeah.
I think that Captain Marvel is more fun and you know, if you separate all the other out of it, it's just more lighthearted.
I just think, probably my biggest criticism of Captain Marvel is that I think that, and we've talked about it, I think that she's underwritten. Carol Danvers.
I agree.
And I think Brie Larson brings a lot to the table with that. I mean, she's a movie star. She's got charisma. She, all the little things that she brings in as an actor, I think for me personally, kind of fill that void and give character to a character that doesn't have a lot there. Whereas I think Diana was much more thoroughly written in terms of what motivated her, you know, where she's been, the arc of where she is from the beginning of the movie to the end. So in that aspect, I think, you know, that helps Wonder Woman stand out a little more for me because I get more of Diana than I do out of Carol Danvers.
Carol is very quippy.
Yeah.
That's nice. I just, like I said, I don't have a sense of who she is.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, I agree with you, Adam. I do think I liked Wonder Woman a little bit more. But Danny, I think both movies had a slow first act. It is quippy, but in the comics, this is the other thing. And this is the other thing that made me worried when they said that this was going to be their tentpole woman's movie, is that in the comics, Carol's all over the place.
Yep.
Even the name Captain Marvel all over the place. Carol stayed getting kidnapped. She was an alcoholic. She had this problem, that problem. Yeah. She had PTSD. Not that there's a problem with all of these things, but I'm just saying they couldn't even in the comics line it up. Until really Kelly Sue DeConnick and there's one other author whose name escapes me, but she had the storyline where Carol's dad used to beat the crap out of her. I can't remember the name of it. But those two storylines seemed to have the most through line, which I felt was put into this movie. The only thing to me that was strange was the way they used the Supreme Intelligence. I loved Annette Bening. And that's been, that's in the trailer that we know that she's the Supreme Intelligence. But I personally think that I've seen both twice. I think I'm leaning more towards Wonder Woman. But again, I want to see two.
Yeah,
I want to see Captain
Marvel 2. It's a zero-sum game.
And it's, exactly. It feels so weird to do that because it's like, why are we comparing those two versus
anything
other film?
Else.
You know,
yeah,
and it would be wonderful when we get to a world where it's like, oh, let's compare the two female-led superhero films, you know, yeah, because
yeah.
No, there's 50 of them.
Right,
like
exactly.
We've talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like this, at some
because
point.
These are the only two I could think of. That's why I wanted to ask that question. But that's it for me I will wait for my spoilers.
Yeah, I'm cool. I feel like we've kind of said what we need to say.
I liked it. I still liked it.
There are things to enjoy. Yeah. I'm not trying to tell people, I'm not going to say, don't bother. I'm not going to say, if you liked it, what's wrong with you? That would be weird. And there, because, like I said, when I watched it, as is often the case with Marvel movies, I thought, yeah, fun. I mean, really, other than the fact that I was, you know, I felt a little empty on understanding exactly who Carol was. And yes, frankly, the weird smile more riff and the just a girl thing, like that, as somebody that's been around the block a couple of times, was a little cringy for me. But again, like you said, like not everything is for me, so I'm not too worried about it. It's just that I watched it and was like, I got it. I got it.
No,
I'm also a middle-aged person, so I, you know, I've been through this. I also went through the 90s the first time. I did the Spice Girls girl power thing, you know, like. It's great. It doesn't have a zero value. It's just that, you know, for me, I watch it and I'm like, okay.
Right.
But that's it. Anyway, whew. Can't wait. Don't leave any comments. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
So what won the week then?
Oh, that's a good question.
Captain Marvel definitely won my week.
Okay.
Remain a poptimist.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. Well, if we're going to do it that way, yes, then Captain Marvel won my week too. You're going to say Idris Elba won your week?
I was thinking about it. No, I think that Game of Thrones trailer really did for me. The mix of that and the Sam Jackson doing the, if I can count the two of them together, like Game of Thrones as a whole, I think kind of won my week. Anyway, that's it. Show's done. Thank you for listening. We always really appreciate it. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. If you've never given a review, leave a review. We're very grateful for those too. Make sure you check out all the other podcasts in the Sci-Fi Wire family. Strong Female Characters, The Phantom Files, Battlestar Galacticast, the official podcast for Deadly Class, and...
Project Blue Book.
Project Blue Book. Whew, boy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. And then, of course, you know, go on to Amazon Alexa if you want to hear the podcast there, or get Adam to slow jam you the news. Before we wrap up, where can the kids at home find you on the internet?
Well, actually, don't forget, we're going to be live streaming from Emerald City Comic Con starting on Wednesday. So you want to check us all out there.
That's right. Come say hi.
And yes, and we'll be at the live stage. And yes, please say hi. But you can also find me on Instagram and Twitter. I'll probably be tweeting and Instagramming the entire time as well. Karma the Blur Girl, TheBlerGurl, on the interwebs. How about you?
You can find me on Instagram at RockTheFaces.
My name is Danny Roth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.